Now, I want to read Psalm 41 again this morning and read its entirety. And make just three or four little old observations from it, and then we're going to close, all right? And I started just to kind of have a prayer meeting this morning. I wanted to say some things about the psalm, there's not really there a whole lot that I want to work on, but there are some things that I think need to be said at the closing of it. And so we'll mention them this morning. Psalm 41, let's begin reading in verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? If he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast to unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. What a statement. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. I tell you, gentlemen, this is not even in the thoughts this morning. But hey, you and I can have victory in our Christian life, in our spiritual life. Now, favor is grace. Amen. The psalmist here is simply saying, I know that I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord because victory is on my side. Sin, self, Satan, and society do not triumph over me. I have received the victory. And somebody said, what is our assurance of salvation? Gentlemen, it's being an overcomer. You cannot have any assurance in your heart of being saved unless you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Overcoming the foes that we encounter in this life. And that's right. I don't see how anybody that dresses like a devil and lives like the world and walks in an ungodliness can have any assurance at all that they've been saved. Like I said, it's not in my thoughts, but I'm going to say this. My wife, while I was studying and praying yesterday morning, went to the supermarket. Before she went there, of course, she's a yard sale lady, you know. And she checked out a couple of yard sales. When she come in, she was telling me about one she went to out here. She asked me of a gentleman's name that pastors an interdenominational church in this town. And I told her the name, and she said, well, that's the name of the people that I visited. And said, I didn't realize a woman was religious at all. She said, when I drove up, she said, I thought those people would have some kind of standards. And said, this man's wife told another lady who she was to write a check to her. Said she was sitting there in tight-fitting blue jeans, makeup an inch thick on her face, hair bobbed up. Her hair was jet black, dyed jet black, and was getting very thin. The reason it was getting thin, gentlemen, because she had put too much of that junk on her hair and it was falling out. And said you could see her scalp through her hair, and said she looked like she had just come out of Hollywood. I said, that's exactly right. I'm telling you, those people that live like that can have no assurance in their heart that they're saved, because salvation brings holiness of life. And where there is no holiness of life, there is no righteousness. Holiness is an inward aspect, righteousness an outward aspect. And where there's no righteous living, there is no holiness on the inside. Now, you just mark that down. And he said, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now, may the Lord add His blessing to that this morning. Now, just three or four things that I want to mention to you out of this psalm. And I tell you, I wanted to begin in Psalm 42 this morning. But I read a little statement about the Psalms that I wanted to convey to you, and it wouldn't have fit in with Psalm 42 in its entirety the way I want to handle it next Sunday. But I didn't realize this, but I knew the Psalms were divided into five different books. If you notice, if you've got a Scofield Bible, Psalm 42 begins the second phase, or book number two of the Psalm. And some writers liken the Psalms to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis and ending with Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. But one fellow made a comment that really stuck out in my mind. He said the first 41 chapters of the book of Psalms are relevant to the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about that thing. I went back through it, and sure enough, you know, when you look at Psalm 22, Psalm 23, you look at Psalm 1, you look at Psalm 18, many of these Psalms are relevant to the ministry of our Lord upon the earth. And then he said, when you pick up Psalm number 42, you begin the ministry of the early church under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to use that a little bit next week, because Psalm 42 starts out, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, even so my soul panteth after thee, O God." And gentlemen, we cannot operate as a New Testament church in the power of the Spirit of God without pantings and longings in our soul for the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And I really believe that's where we're missing the boat today. That's where we're falling short today. Because there is really not that longing or yearning in our heart for the presence of the Lord in our life. Man, I tell you, my God, when I read some of the old writers, and no further back than A.W. Pink, that died either in the early 60s or late 60s, died in the 60s era, used to pastor in Morton's Gap. And in his writings back in the 50s, talking about how we have strayed from the doctrines of holiness and from just plain old down to earth right kind of living. And I look back at my life, you know, back when I was a young boy growing up, man, I thought, even the older women dressed, lost people dressed like they had some sense. And I thought, my goodness, if A.W. Pink thought we was in bad shape in the 50s, what are we like in 1998? But then I read after somebody like Charles Spurgeon, and he talks about in 1880 how we have strayed from the doctrines of the Word of God in our holy life. And I think, my goodness, 110 years ago, he felt like we were straying. What are we living like today in America? I'm going to tell you. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm getting to the thought I want to convey to you. And I really believe the problem is found in verse number 12 of this chapter. You see, in the first part of it, it begins with a blessing. The man, David said, is blessed who considers the poor. And then we find the betrayal in the middle, and then in the benediction or the closing of this chapter, David says this: "As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity." And gentlemen, right there is where we're falling short today. I didn't know altogether what integrity was, but I've got a dictionary and look it up. That dictionary says that integrity is uprightness in our dealing with others. And gentlemen, that does include God. I really wonder today how upright we are in our dealings with people around us as well as with our Lord. Are we really just and merciful and upright? Are we fair? Are we honest in our dealings with those people around us? Man, I tell you, I thought this morning when Brother Matthias told me about Newt Gingrich resigning his congressional, he just got reelected, gentlemen. by a landslide election. But because he was challenged in his leadership role in the Congress, Newt resigned and is headed back to Georgia. And I'm going to tell you why he resigned. I'm going to tell you what his problem was. Newt just wasn't quite upright in his leadership role in the Congress. He tried, now I'm getting somewhere, so don't leave me. He tried to play two sides of the fence. He tried to please the liberal Democrats, and at the same time, he tried to please or appease the conservative Republicans in the Congress. He tried to play house with Bill Clinton and still play house with the conservatives in office too. And gentlemen, you cannot do that. Now somebody said, now Brother Hall, what's that got to do with us? Because the same scenario fits us in our churches today. We're trying to play two sides of the fence, gentlemen. We're trying to please God with a holy life. We're trying to please our brethren with a holy life. But at the same time, we have compromised to the degree that we're playing both sides of the fence. Now, I'm going to tell you what Brother Nolan used to say about fence straddlers. He said, if you straddle the fence long enough, you'll get splinters in your britches. I'm simply saying, that's right, gentlemen. I'm simply saying, you cannot straddle a wooden fence and walk that wooden fence all of your life. There's got to come a day when you either sell out to God or sell out to the world, one of the two. And God knows that more of them than I would like to believe have sold out to the world. When I thought about the politicians and their integrity, I thought about preachers and their integrity. Now, that's right. Somebody said, you mean preachers don't deal honestly, or they're not upright in their dealings with others? I'm telling you, gentlemen, a preacher that will not warn you about sin is not dealing upright with you. He's not dealing honestly with you. Some, we got men in Madisonville today. They wouldn't tell you if a rattlesnake had curled up in your bed with you. I know they won't, because they never name sin from the pulpit. Somebody said, my God, preacher, you going to name sin every chance I get? Dishonesty? Lying, cheating, running around on your wives. All of it, fellas, it's there. And the thing of it is, it's crept right into the house of God. And I say this in love, and I Brother Steve's sitting over there, and I hope he don't say nothing to this guy. But the guy's been a wire in my house. I know the man ain't sold out to God. You know what I mean? He come over to work a couple times in Bermudas, and then he had his armband on, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I didn't say one thing to that man. I mean, I never chided him. I let the man come in and do his work, whatever he wanted to do. But I know that man is not separated. And Friday night he told me about a play that they put on over there, about a play, and I don't know, something about a little girl screaming, you know, a preacher inviting them to be saved, and a little girl hollering, not reject, you know, a little girl rejecting, and then Jesus come through the door and this and that, and then she wanted to go with him, and then she couldn't go with him. And I got to thinking, I thought, man, that guy, somebody said, he's got a problem. I'm going to tell you where the problem's at, gentlemen. It's not with that guy, it's with that egghead standing behind the pulpit that will not preach the word of God to him. There are people out there, if they ever heard the truth of righteousness and holiness, would come out of those messes and live right. Man, I tell you, he told me something, boy. I said, Lord, God, I hope so. He said, preacher, said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, well, I'll try to. What is it? And he said, I come in from work the other day, and said, my wife told me, said, Johnny, said, I've been listening to this preaching on a radio station. And said, man, said, I'm going to tell you what, said, I'm liking it. And he said, well, said, who's the preacher? She said, I have no idea what his name is, but said he's got a program called the Supper Time Hour. I said, hallelujah to God, Lord. Pour it on. Pour it on. Hey, that's right. I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, there is no integrity There is no integrity today in politicians, and there is no integrity today in preachers across America. David said, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. What David's saying, Lord, I have dealt right with you. I have also dealt right with my fellow man. Therefore, he had enough confidence, gentlemen, that God would uphold him in the betrayal of his life. When old David went out of Jerusalem, he had real confidence that God would restore him to his throne in Jerusalem. You know why? Because he had done right. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, even if the stars fall from the sky, do right. Gentlemen, doing right will give us real confidence. Doing right will win in any circumstance, under any condition. Doing right and treating people right and staying right. And look here, I'm going to be honest with you. It is not an easy thing today to stay right with God and to stay right with man, because most men don't want to be right. You know what Paul said? Paul said, if I yet pleased God, then I could not please man also.
Amen.
We're going to have to make up our mind, gentlemen, who we're going to please. Whether we please God or whether we please man. But now look here, even regardless whether you please man or not, you can still deal uprightly with man. That's right. You can be upright. I told Brother Steve, asked me the other day. He called me the other night, last Sunday night. And he said, preacher, said, there's a guy that I went through in the military with and was a drill sergeant with. And he wants to know, said, he helped me move. And when I moved, Steve said, I used a little church trailer. And said, he wants to know if he can use our church trailer to take some food and clothing to a children's home in New Mexico. I said, well, I said, we might. I said, what kind of a home is it? And Brother Steve said, well, this guy goes to a Church of Christ. And he's going to take that down to one of their children's homes. And I got thinking, hey, now listen, you don't think the devil won't play on you, gentlemen? I had just preached that Sunday morning on being kind to people.
Amen.
And I said, unto God. Now, if I say no, they'll say I'm unkind. If I say yes, then I'm going to be a compromising liberal. And John said that we ought not to even bid that crowd Godspeed.
Amen.
So if I'm not even to bid him Godspeed, how in heaven's name can I be partaker on his ministry?
Right.
And I began to pray about that thing. Now I'm going to tell you what God told me, fellas. I said, Lord, I can't be right both ways. And God said, yes, you can. Said, what you need to do, and this is what I told Brother Steve. I said, if that man wants to use that trailer personally for himself to move his household articles in, to move his family from his house to another house, I said, I'll be kind to that man and let him use it. But if that's a work of his ministry out of his church, and that church is sending goods down there, and I said, with a clear conscience, I can't do that. Steve said, well, that's what they're going to do. I said, I can't do it then. Or here, somebody said, Brother Hall, were you right? I believe I was right with man and with God too. I was fair, gentlemen. So you see, you cannot cross your conscience. And what's the word I'm looking for? You can't cross your conscience to be right with man. I mean, as far as God is concerned, you can't be wrong with God and right with man. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, don't nobody leave me here. I'm trying to get... That word means to be complete, and it means to be innocent. And what David is saying here, now everybody follow me. David had given to the poor. David had been a very charitable man. And had given to the poor and helped others and been kind. And then he had been betrayed. And what David was saying here, David was saying, Lord, how I've been good to them, and yet I've been betrayed. Because I have been upright with God and them, I've got confidence that God will uphold me in that integrity.
Amen.
Oh, gentlemen, what a thought that is. what I thought. I'll tell you who I thought about. When I was sitting at the house this morning, I thought about Rahab and the spies. Those spies came across into Jericho and went into the city, and just by accident, they come to Rahab's house. I was wondering when somebody was going to smile or say something, gentlemen. No accidents with God, brethren. Rahab and her family was the only ones got out of that city alive. But when they come into Rahab's home on top of the wall, she lived on top of the wall, she is a harlot. And those men knew quite well that if they were caught there, it was, as they used to say in Vietnam, crocodile time. Head gone, you know what I'm saying? Because they were spies, spying out the land. And Rahab said, here's what I'll do. If I hide you, then when you come back to take this city, you spare me and my family. And look here, those men agreed to that. And when they departed, sure enough, she let down that scarlet thread out of the window, and when they came back, those men were, before they ever left, they came in looking for those men. She sent the king's soldiers off in another direction, and those men found safety. But when they returned, Rahab found safety.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, gentlemen, they made an agreement with one another,
yes.
And in their agreement with one another, they both maintained their integrity. In other words, that those spies did what they said they'd do, and Rahab done what Rahab said she'd do. That leads me to this, gentlemen. Integrity is simply being honest and doing what we say we will do. God help, I'm telling you, buddy, I've never seen so many lying devils as there are in the world today. They'll tell you one thing and won't do it. Don't know what, that's right. I'm simply saying there's no integrity. There's no integrity. Now stay with me. Three things I want to convey to you and try to make an application on this that I hope will kind of help us. All right? I want to say, number one, we ought to maintain our integrity when we're sick. That's not very deep, is it, gentlemen? But that's the text that we're in. David said, blessed is a man that considereth the poor. And David had helped the poor and been a blessing to the poor. And then later on in verses 7 and 8, David found himself in verse number 8 with an evil disease. Those men said, he'll not rise up again. He's down for the count. He will not rise up again. But I'm going to tell you that David not one time got bent out of joint, gentlemen, in his sickness. David received it as the providence of Almighty God, and had confidence because he had been right that God would do right to him.
Amen.
Now, I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that it is not easy to stay right and maintain your integrity when you're diseased. And David didn't have a flu bug. I don't know what was wrong with him, but he didn't have a common cold and he didn't have a flu bug. David was sick enough that crowd, when they came in to see him, said, he is down, he will not rise again. I've got a funny feeling that's exactly the same thing Satan said about our Lord when he was in the grave. He's down, he won't rise again. But I'm telling you, you cannot keep a good man down, friend. Just like Jesus got out of the grave, sickness, whether it be unto death or unto life, cannot keep a good man down. God will see to it that he rises again if that man has walked in his integrity.
Amen.
That's right. Now, you know, I want to say this. I think about Brother Billy back there. Sandy called the other day when Billy came into church last Tuesday. Before he got here, and said, is Billy there yet? And I said, no, I don't believe he's here yet, Sandy. I said, I haven't seen him. She said, well, he's on his way. And said, when he gets there, just tell him I called and I want him to call me when he leaves. I mean, he lives about 5 minutes up the road, but she wants to make sure Billy don't get sidetracked on the way home in that 5 minutes. Keep check on you, buddy. And then she said, Brother Hall, I'm sorry that I'm not there. Said, I just feel like the rug's been jerked out from under me. And I mean, it's no secret. Billy's taken radiation treatments. He had a brain tumor. It's a malignant tumor. And he is fighting with an evil disease. But gentlemen, here's the point that I'm making. In sickness, even a sickness that might very well be unto death, if we have walked in our integrity in past, we have all the right in the world to believe that God will do right by that sickness, whatever the results may be. Somebody said, well, what if Billy goes on to heaven? What if he does? Hallelujah! Home at last. I mean, I enjoy seeing his old mug set back there, but if he goes on to be with God, Paul said that is far better that I go on to be with the Lord.
Amen.
But it is more needful for me to remain here. I don't know whether it'd be more needful for me to remain here or not. Hallelujah to God, gentlemen. That's right. It is not easy to stay right. And look here, I'm going to tell you another thing can creep in. And Billy ain't the only one that's been there. Tammy has been there. What about Kelly? What about Megan? You see, this is somebody said, Brother Hall, you're way off course. No, I'm right exactly on the practical thing that's in our church right now. Do you know that Brother Gene Mathias several months ago preached on cancer? He said, this cancer, here's cancer. That said, seemed like everybody in the church coming down with cancer. Sickness, gentlemen. Sickness. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I'm telling you that many times that sickness will come upon us that God may use that evil disease to try us to find out what kind of faith we got and how much integrity we have in our soul. They said when D.L. Moody died, he was laying on his deathbed and his wife walked in and was holding his hand and he was about ready to go out to meet God. And he looked up at her and said, said, old John Jasper, that old black preacher, was laying on his deathbed. And just a few minutes before he went out to meet God, said he just raised up and sat up in the bed and saluted. He said, sir, this is John Jasper, standing at the River of Jordan, and I'm waiting for further orders.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying, gentlemen? I'm telling you, men, that many times God uses sickness to try our faith.
Amen.
To try. And look here. Integrity, gentlemen, integrity, where there is no integrity of life, there is no salvation.
Amen.
Where we have not dealt right with God and dealt right with mankind, there is no salvation.
Amen.
God instills that into a man's heart and life.
Right.
When he's saved by the grace of God. I thought when I was preparing this of Brother Robert and Steve. And Steve, they went over here and laid a foundation for a house and the fella come and laid the blocks, and then the guy that owned the place got all bent out of joint. Called him the other day, called Robert and told him he's ready for him to come back to work. Said, I've hired some other men to work with you. That ain't no good.
Amen.
That fella doesn't have an ounce of integrity.
Amen.
He's not dealing right with anybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying, gentlemen?
Amen.
I'm talking about real integrity of heart.
Amen.
The Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 11, I can't hold it, 11 and verse number 3, That prosperity will give you direction of life.
Amen.
It will be a guide. He said in Proverbs 27 that integrity will secure the prosperity of your children. Hey, look right up. Somebody said, I wonder why my kids is hellions. Maybe it's because you're a hellion.
Amen.
Wonder why my kids tell lies all the time. Maybe it's because you have been a habitual liar in your life. Wonder why my kids are disobedient and rebellious to me. Maybe it's because you were disobedient and rebellious to your parents. I'm telling you, gentlemen, it comes home to haunt us. The chickens will come home to roost. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mark her down. Now, you want your children to turn out right, then you do right. And if you turn out right, like David,
You too can say, as for me, Lord, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. Mine integrity. I've done right, so Lord, you do right.
Amen.
Now I say this with reverence. What David was saying there is, Lord, I've done right and you have no wrong right to do me wrong because I've done right. Pretty tough, fellas. I say that we ought to maintain our integrity in sickness. I want to say number two, we ought to maintain our integrity when we're being sifted. You know, I thought of old Job. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Still, he holdeth fast his integrity.
Amen.
Although thou hast movedest me against him to destroy him without a cause.
Amen.
Don't leave off that, gentlemen, without a cause.
Right.
God said, I have moved to sift him you would sift wheat, and I have done it without a cause. But even in all that, Job still upheld or maintained his integrity. He still dealt right with God, and he dealt right with his fellow man.
Amen.
Why, after all, fellas, I mean, Job had only lost his whole family. All of his wealth was gone. In fact, from what I gather, there wasn't nothing left of Job but him and his wife.
Amen.
But yet, Job done right. He never indicted God. He never pointed his finger at God. And look here. He never even cussed the Sabians. If that had been you and I, bless God, them sorry egg-sucking devils, I'm going to ask God to come over here and steal my goats. Steal my milk cow. See, old Jerry's the best old milk cow I had. The egg-sucking Sabians fell on my milk cow and took my milk cow. Hey, gentlemen. Look here. Oh, my. I'm telling you. I'm beginning to learn some things, gentlemen, at 52 years old that it's took me a long time to learn.
Amen.
I sat in upstairs in that house yesterday. I thought, Lord, you've been good to me.
Amen.
I was getting ready to preach this morning. I looked out the window. Miss Hall wasn't there. And there was a bunch of little old squirrels. Brother Robert like been over there and got them for the skillet. But I like to watch them play. I might put them an ear of corn out there in a little house to get in. Amen to God. Them little squirrels out there running around, you know. And I happened to look, and there was two of them, and they was around this tree. Shoom, 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 shoom. I mean, just ring, shoom, shoom. And all at once they stopped, and I watched them tails. I said, that looks like the way a deer flags his tail. And then, and you know what? I was watching, there's two of them. And the Holy Ghost said, they just getting ready to mate. Them two little squirrels is in love. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Look what a time they're having. And it wasn't long till there come a bunch of old blue jays. You know blue jays, they're the meanest thinking birds in the world, son. I mean, they're hateful. I said, they're dive bombing. And about two dive bombs, buddy. Them squirrels had been headed for higher ground, buddy. They had found them. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Gentlemen, and this is just so simple, but look here. Those blue jays were interfering with their love making. I'm here to tell you, fellas, that the devil will interfere with our love making with the Lord and tempt us to walk in unrighteousness and will cause us to get bent out of sorts, and it will do nothing but do detriment to our hearts if we allow it to happen. He'll try to spoil our love affair with Jesus. Look here. And what God wants us to do is even when we're being sifted. Huh? Listen what else old Job said. Man, it's good. Thank God. It is good. If I can find it here. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. You know what those three men were saying to Job? They said, Job, you're a sinner. And what's happened to you has happened to you because of your sin. Why don't you just give up on God? Quit serving God. Go on back to watching the wildcats. Go on back to your bars. Go on back to shooting pool. Go on back to the beaches. Go on back to cussing. Go on back to running around on your wife. Go on back to being a God hater. Why don't you give up and quit, Job? After all, God has done turned His back on you. Job said, nope.
Amen.
All the while I live, I'm going to do right and maintain
Amen.
My integrity. Now I'll close with this. I believe it's in Job chapter 31. That was in Job 27, by the way.
Amen.
Found it here. Got it written down. Yeah. Chapter 31. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Do not he see that my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity.
Amen.
God said, put me in something even, Lord, that I may know mine. He said, put my deceit on one hand, my integrity on the other hand, and weigh me in the balance, and let me examine myself.
Amen.
That I may realize that I have walked in mine integrity. Now, I don't have time to turn there. We wanted to get done as early as we could today, and I'm not going to turn there. But in 1 Kings chapter number 9, gentlemen, hey, we ought to maintain our integrity when we're sick. We ought to maintain our integrity when we're sifted. We ought to maintain our integrity when we're serving.
Amen.
You know what God told Solomon in 1 Kings 9? He said, I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place as my dwelling place. And he said, as long as you walk with the same integrity that David had, there will not lack to be a king on the throne in Israel. Gentlemen, again, God's simply saying, Solomon, if you'll do right, your children will do right. If your children will do right, your children will do right. And as long as you're doing right, he said, I'll maintain your power and your authority in Israel. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it behooves me to do right.
Amen.
And walk in integrity of heart. And to always walk upright in my dealings with God and with mankind.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the morning hour.
Yes.
Bless the preaching now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.